It's February 23rd. You're listening to Episode 9 of The Shanaki, How to Succeed in Evil, Part 2. For more information, visit goodwordsrightorder.com. It had taken Edwin's lawyer, Topper Hagelblatt, all of 30 minutes to get him out of jail. A study in contradictions, Topper was a chain-smoking powerlifter who consumed scotch by the oaken barrelful and vitamins by the metric ton. His favorite hangover remedy involved a shot of bourbon and a wheatgrass chaser. He was also a midget. When the paper had described him as a pit bull on steroids, one of his many enemies quipped, "But a pit bull won't bite your balls off." Actually, Topper was never one for biting, but he was quick to point out that from his vantage point, a normal man's scrotum made an ideal speed bag. As they walked away from the courthouse, Topper's legendary enthusiasm for legal battles took over. "I tell you, Edwin, we're gonna gain ground on this one. We got a great suit against the city. No due process, profiling due to height. They really had their heads up their ass for this arrest. We're gonna make a fortune. Maybe two fortunes. So, were you more injured or assaulted?"
"No, just detained and annoyed," Edwin said.
"Would you be willing to claim that you were injured?"
"No."
"Stretch the truth a little, you know, to help an old friend out. I'm telling you, there's a mountain of cash to be picked up here, and you're asking me to use tweezers. Check. Check yourself again. Any bruises, anything chafed, a rash even. Give me something."
"I wasn't harmed, and I'm not going to lie about it."
"Lie? Who said anything about lying? I was just pointing out that if you gave me a shovel, I could pile money in your bank account quicker. But if you want me to use tweezers, that's fine. I'm just the hired help, and I get paid by the hour." "And look at your suit! It's ruined! Let me sue for that, at least."
"The only thing it cost me was an afternoon playing golf."
"Well, that's the easiest thing to solve in the world. You come to my club tomorrow. We'll tune up for the member guest."
Edwin cringed at the thought of playing golf with Topper. It wasn't that Topper was a horrible golfer. He was. But it was more a clash of philosophies. Edwin believed that if you were going to cheat at golf, why bother playing at all? Topper had the opposite attitude. He believed that if you're going to do something, you might as well go the extra mile and cheat at it. Otherwise, you were just being lazy. It wasn't very sportsmanlike, but it had made him the most feared lawyer in town. Not a man Edwin wanted to snub thoughtlessly. "Let me check my schedule with my secretary, and I'll get back to you."
"Edwin, you are simply not taking another Friday off to play golf. We've seen quite enough of your schoolboy laziness for 1 week," said Edna Frapdraggle.
"Miss Frapdraggle," Edwin began.
"No, no, I'll not hear of it. Besides, you have an appointment with the Austrian gentleman, Dr. Loeb.
He's
a paying client, and you forced him to reschedule twice.
He's
paying double your highest rate.
Edwin, he will simply not be deprived of your presence for a third time. You'll see the man, that's all there is to it." "He's not even Austrian, he's faking. He's from Alabama. For all I know, he developed his ridiculous accent from watching Arnold Schwarzenegger movies."
"Good Lord, Edwin. What does that have to do with the price of tea in China? I've arranged for a driver to pick you up in the morning and convey you to Dr. Loeb's office."
"Oh, I am sorry, it says secret lair. Honestly, I don't know why you boys play such silly little games, secret lair nonsense, but I'm sure it will be fun for you and profitable for our going concern. See you in the afternoon. Ta, darling." Edna Frapdraggle was a formidable woman and even more formidable secretary. She eschewed the term executive assistant. "Executive assistance is bad English," she was fond of saying. "It is most often a cover for incompetence and is offensive to me because of the prominence of the syllable ass. I am a secretary. I do not assist. I keep order." And so she did. She looked rather like Winston Churchill in drag, and if you've been unfortunate enough to see such a thing, there is an Act of Parliament that entitles you to reparations from the British government. Sure, it's hush money, but if you've been scarred, why not take the cash? The next day, Edwin found himself trying to cramp his vast frame into a chair of modern design and questionable taste. Dr. Loeb sat at the other end of a long table. His real name was Eustace Eugene Riley III, and he looked as ridiculous as any lowland redneck who mixes a Nehru jacket with a shaved head. Actually, more so, because Edwin had not been able to get a straight answer out of him all morning. Par for the course with his clients. "Can you tell me a little bit about your business plan?" Edwin asked.
"World domination!"
"That's really more of a goal than a plan, isn't it?"
"Domination!"
"I'll just put down mergers and acquisitions. Now, about this secret lair.
Do you like it?"
"It's not exactly to my taste." Edwin shifted in his chair. "But that's not my point. It's the signage."
"You don't like the type font?"
No, it's not the typeface. It's the sign itself."
"What do you mean?"
"Well, the large sign out front reading Dr. Loeb's Secret Lair. It defeats the purpose of having a lair that is... that's supposed to be... a secret." "You're not getting any of this, are you?"
"I got it. You don't like my lair. You're just jealous. It's not my fault you can't have henchmen in cool outfits."
Dr. Loeb had personally designed his henchmen's uniforms. One-piece jumpsuits constructed from a non-breathable reflective material. Essentially, his henchpeople walked around in sauna suits fueled by their own sweat and body heat. Absenteeism due to boils was something of an epidemic.
"But I must have the sign for the pizza man."
At a loss for how to proceed, Edwin was pleasantly surprised when the wall behind him exploded.
"Cower and fear, nefarious evildoers! It is I, Amazing Man! You take your life in your hands coming here to capture me."
"Mr. Ding, it's not clear that my client has performed any acts of evil."
"What are you talking about? He's a villain! His villainy is obvious! Look at his jacket!" "It's no matter. I am evil, and so he must stop me before I strike again and achieve my plan of world domination. The only way to settle this is manful combat."
Dr. Loeb, you might want to rethink this. He's got a good 40 pounds on you, and he just shouldered his way through a wall. But he was too late.
"Amazing Man, into the fray!"
As the scuffle started, Edwin pushed his chair back from the table and pulled out his cell phone. "Hey, Topper, yeah. My meeting's a bust. I've got the afternoon open if you still want to play golf." Dr. Loeb sailed through the air and slammed into the conference table in front of Edwin. What was that? No, breach of contract. Yeah, like I said. Okay. Say 2 o'clock? Great. I'll see you there." Edwin snapped the phone shut with an air of satisfaction. Finally, he felt like he was back in the driver's seat. Dr. Loeb was pinned under Amazing Man's knee. Amazing Man wrenched Dr. Loeb's arm hard against its socket.
"Yield, villain, yield!"
"Oh,"
said Dr. Loeb. Edwin stood and smoothed a wrinkle from his suit jacket. He then produced a small nickel-plated pistol and shot Amazing Man in the thigh. The blood drained quickly from Amazing Man's face, and he fell onto the floor, gasping in pain.
"You can't shoot me! I'm a hero! It's not fair!"
Edwin ignored him.
Thank you, said Dr. Loeb.
"Don't thank me. I'm sending you a bill. But there's no charge for this piece of advice. Make sure someone shoots him in the head."
"Villain!"
gasped Amazing Man. "No, I'm not a villain," Edwin thought as he closed the door behind him. "I'm far too smart for that."